Buenas noches.
Sí.
You got last week. Kind of sheet.
Yeah, probably. It's a new one?
No, it's the same. Okay.
Good.
So on the chesed of the dalit, we're going to go back. We read the Gemara last time. And we're going to go back, read the Gemara again, a bit much slower this time. We'll see a few rushes as well. So, there's a hatdama to a few of the focus, what we're going to focus on, what we're going to concentrate on. Let me ask the question, everyone. Reuven borrows money from Shimon. Okay. What does Reuven do when he borrows money? What does Shimon do to give to Reuven? If he's borrowing money, so what does Shimon give to Reuven? What? If Reuven wants money from Shimon, so and what does Shimon give him if he wants money?
He promises he's going to pay back.
Money. Yes, money. Okay. That's such a hard question. Good. Okay. Here's one. Okay, fine. Yes. So, Reuven says, "Can I have some money from Shimon?" Shimon gives him money. Okay. Now, when Shimon gives Reuven money, does that now give any? No, when Shimon lends money to Reuven.
Yeah.
I can change the names if you're more comfortable. Reuven lends money to Shimon. Okay. Okay, that one. It's easier. Okay. Reuven gives money to Shimon. When Reuven gives over money to Shimon, does Reuven get anything in exchange? Besides star and anything like that, does he, by giving money over to Shimon, does he get anything by just giving over the
nothing.
Money to Shimon?
Nothing.
It's the
rights. What's a lien?
Rights, lien.
What do these words mean?
Promise to pay.
A mortgage on the property.
Mortgage. What's a mortgage on the property?
A place to claim from.
When Reuven gives money to Shimon, okay. Now you're saying Shimon, automatically Reuven gets a lien or some sort of. So it means he bought something? He's acquired something by giving the money over to Shimon? Because when Reuven gives the money to Shimon, he now gets a lien. Does that mean he's acquired something with this Reuven?
He hasn't acquired something. It's a flag.
Can he have breakfast?
No, that's all. He has nothing
to eat.
He hasn't acquired anything. It's a backup.
How do you get
a promise to
before
pay.
He gave the money, did he have anything?
No.
So now he got money, he got a lien. How did he get this lien?
He would have had a promise to give the lien.
So he's promised to give him money. Why do you need lien? He's just promised to pay you back.
Yeah.
And whenever you borrow money, you get a promise to give it back. So what's a lien? A lien.
It's a guarantee.
So what is?
Guarantee of
payment. So how did you get this guarantee?
You have precedence if Reuven has nothing.
But how did he get that? Before I had nothing. Now I gave money. So by giving money, how does
the borrower sign a shtar?
Is a kinyan of
that? Without a shtar, he doesn't get this lien. You see. I'm not asking you this proof or not. I say you tell me he gets a lien.
Yeah.
How does he get that lien? How does it become, so to speak, his lien?
Yeah.
How does he get it?
Because the takona ada derives the rabbonon that when you lend money, your property, and you receive the money, your property is now pledged to the person that lent you the money.
Okay, but how does, even if it's the corner, how does it work?
How does he get a promise of repayment? I
lend you money, obviously, you owe me, if I give you $1,000 as a loan, obviously you owe me $1,000.
So, what do you...
So now, what's a lien? More than that. What's a lien? Lien is something in addition to that. So what is a lien?
So anybody, if somebody borrowed the day before me, then they have precedence over any collection if there's nothing left. And somebody borrows the day after me, they, I have precedence.
Yeah, over. I'm asking how to get it. Okay, you get precedence. Yeah. How do you get precedence?
How do you get that?
Yeah, how do you get it?
It's automatic with a loan.
What?
So transfer of money.
Yes.
Creates.
Ah. Oh. Okay.
Right.
Oh, it's back.
That's really.
Yes, it's okay. If I go to the shop, I want to buy something, I give money. I bought now whatever I want in the shop. Here also, when Reuven gives one to Shimon, he is now acquiring. He is buying something. What is he acquiring? He's acquiring
rights.
That become his. Rights means it's now become his. What's rights? He, by giving this money, he acquires ownership rights of in that land called a lien. Not the actual use of the land, but he now has certain ownership of it. As ownership to limited ownership. Ownership to use it as payment. So either I can buy this Gemara to be totally mine and do what I like with it, or I can buy the Gemara for certain rights, certain use out of it. I'm buying certain use in the Gemara. Yeah. So here, when I lend money, Reuven lends money to Shimon, he's buying rights in his land to use as payment. Everyone understands what a lien is? Okay. Which land does he buy those rights in when he borrows? Reuven lends money to Shimon, and we say that actually is called buying something. Was he buying rights in land as to be used as payment? Which land does he buy rights in?
The middle grade. If he has middle grade three types, he gets the middle grade.
Okay, according to Ullah. According to Ullah, who just finished the sugya last week, what did Ullah say the Torah says you bought?
Ziboros.
You see the Ziboros? Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Now, that's what he's bought. He has now, belongs to him. Yeah. Once you bought something, Reuven bought from Shimon something, yeah, in this case it's rights in the rubbish to be paid with, yeah. Can anyone else buy something once it Shimon sells something, can he sell it again to somebody else?
Yes.
Now I'll ask you in the shop. I buy something in the shop. Can now the shopkeeper sell it again to somebody else? If it's already been bought by somebody, can you go ahead and sell it again?
That's the thing.
I'm asking my case of the shop. He goes into the shop, and he buys a table in that shop. Can that same table be sold to somebody else then?
No.
Okay. So now Reuven's lent money to Shimon, and he's bought rights in his rubbish lands. It's his now for payment. Okay. Now, can now Shimon go ahead and take that land and sell it to somebody else?
Shimon is the borrower?
No. Shimon. Yeah, Reuven gave money to Shimon. Yeah, that's why we chose Reuven. Reuven gave money to Shimon. By giving money to Shimon, Reuven now owns rights in Shimon's rubbish land. Yeah? Can now Shimon sell that land to somebody else?
Yes, he can.
Yes, and what. And does now, when Shimon sells that land to somebody else, does now that person who bought it have complete use of it, and it's totally his,
100%?
100%. Reuven's writing us so much.
It's subject to...
Okay. When Shimon sells that land, at the time he's selling it, it wasn't totally his, because he already gave partial ownership to Reuven for payment. So now he transfers it to somebody else. That somebody else buys what Shimon has, but not more than Shimon has. And therefore that person himself also has a land which is still has rights from Reuven in it. Okay?
I just want to make sure.
So Shimon sells it to Levi. Levi owns the land, but it's got on the land already still rights of ownership for payment purposes of Reuven, who already bought those rights before Levin even bought the fields.
It's interesting. It comes out, I never thought about it this way, but it comes out that rights is not a full ownership. Otherwise, Levin could never have bought it. other words,
yeah, it's not flowing. It's
yeah,
because Shimon is still using it, even after he borrowed the money. Shimon is still using it for all different things, and they can use it. So those he's right. So the rights of lien, which Shimon owns, is not total ownership in the land. It's a limited ownership in that land for a specific purpose, but it's an ownership. And when now Shimon passed it on to Levi, Levi now owns it, but it's restricted by the ownership of Reuven is still in there. It hasn't been removed.
There to be a few people's rights in the property. You know, a list of rights. You borrowed money one day from Reuven, and then borrowed from this one and from that one.
Reuven comes first.
Yes, but I mean, so yes. There are limited there are lists of rights. Of
whoever comes first in ownership, obviously he comes first and pushes out the others. Yeah.
And maybe you could make a close if you didn't know.
If you didn't know, maybe. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So now, if Reuven, even after the rubbish land is sold, Reuven still owns that land for payment purposes. Okay. Now that's all by rubbish. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about the famous the Bnei Brak land? Yeah, that Shimon had. Reuven gave money to Shimon. Reuven acquires rights in Shimon's rubbish Shevish stuff. Does he acquire any rights in Bnei Brak or Yerushalayim land? Does he acquire anything like that?
On the contrary, we said that after the Kas Chazal, he acquired the rights in the Benjamins and not in the Zigurus. No? Because the Benjamins is now because of the Shlod.
What did all this say? All this says you get. You're entitled to get paid with Bnei Brak, even though the Torah says you're really should only take Bet Shemesh. We give you an upgrade to Bnei Brak, yes? What was that upgrade? Ownership rights, or just a mitzvah for the original owner to pay with Bnei Brak? What was it?
To live.
Mitzvah.
No,
what Ula says, the reason why Reuven can take Bnei Brak, even though Torah says you're only entitled to the Bet Shemesh, the reason why you can take Bnei Brak, what does Ula say? It's a corner. What's that corner? Ownership rights or mitzvah rights?
Ownership.
Or mitzvahs, just a mitzvah for the guy to pay.
Ownership.
No, it's ownership.
Right.
Mitzvah.
No, because comes first.
Yeah. So it's only mitzvah. Ula said it's only mitzvah. Oh, Muslim is. There was another one that said differently, but Ula said it's only a mitzvah.
That's it. That doesn't work in
Nalastel. Ah, well,
that it does. Most people know what
to do. No, I can force him. Based on forcing him to the mitzvah. Force him to the mitzvah. Force him to the mitzvah. The Torah says, you give money, the only thing you buy is rice in his rubbish. Rabbanu came along and said, we're not changing that. All we're doing is making the guy, when he pays, pay. You've got mitzvah to pay with better than that, called Bnei Brak, and we'll force you to do that mitzvah if you don't do it. But it says personal mitzvah, not that Reuven has any actually monetary claims on that Bnei Brak. So, yeah. That's all.
So if Shimon sells the land to Levi, sends the beans to Levi.
Now the question is like this. Now the question is like this. Okay. So what, even after the Tzidkon, even after we say Baal Chov can take Bnei Brak, what does the Baal Chov Reuven own, though? What does he own? What rights does he own? Does he own anything in Bnei Brak?
No.
Nothing in Bnei Brak. He only owns in Bet Shemesh, even after the Tzidkon. So now, Shimon, who owns all these fields, goes and sells all those fields. He goes and sells all his fields. Bet Shemesh, Bnei Brak, and Yerushalayim. He goes and sells to Levi. Yes? Okay. Levi. Which lands which Levi acquired, does Levi have total ownership over, with no one being able to tell him what to do with it? And which land does he only have limited ownership, where somebody can tell him what to do at? Out of those three lands, which Levi bought, he bought all of those. Now Levi, when he's bought all of these, which one does he have total ownership? No one can tell him what to do with it. And which one is there limited ownership where he has to listen to a guy that, this is not totally yours? Which one is not totally yours, his, and which one is totally his? Out of those three.
Yeah.
No?
The Boris is the one that's subject to the collection.
Correct.
Because the kind of falls away.
The Boris is subject to the collection. What of that? The Bet Shemesh is subject to Reuven having ownership, and therefore Levi has to listen to what Reuven says because he came first before Levi was in the picture. What about Bnei Barak?
Nothing.
Did Reuven have anything in Bnei Barak?
No.
So if he had nothing in Bnei Barak, and now it's given over to Levi, does Levi have to give it back to Reuven at all? Then can Reuven insist on getting that Bnei Barak at all? No. Did Reuven have any rights in the land? It's his ownership to say, hey, I came first before you. Can Reuven say those words to Levi on Bnei Barak?
No.
No? Okay. That's what we should say. Let's, what does Agumar say? Let's see Agumar says.
That's now we'll be in trouble.
Corner of them. Because we said, all this says, even after the corner, the only thing that Reuven, who lent the money, owns, even after the corner, the only thing he has rights or monetary rights in, is Bet Shemesh. And the reason why he gets Bnei Barak payments from the guy who lent money is just because there's a personal mitzvah on Shimon to give that Bnei Barak, but there's no monetary rights that Reuven has. So if so, when he sells that Bnei Barak to Levi, Levi now has total ownership because there's no monetary rights on it in the first place. Does Levi have a personal mitzvah to pay debts to Reuven?
No.
Did Levi borrow money from Reuven that has a mitzvah? No, he has no mitzvah. There's no monetary rights. So therefore, Levi can say to Reuven, says, look, you can take the Bet Shemesh, but you're nowhere going to touch my Bnei Barak because it's got nothing to do with you. You have no rights in it, no monetary rights in it, and I have no personal mitzvah to give it because I never borrowed you money. What does Gemara say? What does Gemara say? Toner Rabban. Mochel Echot. Shimon sold all his lands to one guy. Other choice play autumn kechots. All three guys at the same time. Kulon. All those land, all the people who bought, whether it's the one guy or the three guys, all of them, both cases. Nichnasu tachas abalim. What does the word nichnasu tachas abalim mean? Says Rashi. Nichnasu tachas abalim. Nichnasu. Everyone's got that. Nichnasu tachas abalim. Help is the doctor dinner. Yeah. Kulon. The beginning of the line is Kulon. In line with Mocha. Yeah. Kulon nichnusu tachas abalim. Nichnusu alkukus. The buyers, the one buyer, or the three buyers, is Kedina Mocha. He has the same obligation as the one who sold it to him. Whoever bought the Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim and Nizik has to pay the Nizik, the one who's damaged, with Yerushalayim. Lokeach beinis. And whoever bought the Bnei Barak, whoever bought the Bnei Barak, Yisholem Shachov, he has to pay, whether he likes it or not, he has to pay Bnei Barak to Reuven. Levi, who bought Bnei Barak, has to like Shimon pay Bnei Barak to Reuven. Levi also has to pay back to Reuven. Why?
Yeah, trouble.
Why? Uzza told us Reuven never owned Bnei Barak. Why does Levi have to give Bnei Barak to Reuven? Reuven never owned Bnei Barak. So why when Levi buys Bnei Barak have to give it to Reuven? No reason. Kasha. That's Ula holds clearly. The way we learn Rashi and the Nemuki Yosef, Ula holds clearly. There's no ownership of Reuven and Bnei Barak. Shimon just has a personal mitzvah which we force him to do because he borrowed money to give Bnei Barak. Nothing to do with Reuven's rights. Save so when Levi comes along and buys Bnei Barak, he could say to Reuven, you've got nothing to do with me, Bnei Barak. I don't need to give you Bnei Barak. You have no rights here to take Bnei Barak. I have no mitzvah to give you. So why I'm giving? Why is it the Gemara saying? No, Levi bought Bnei Barak, he has to pay. What? That's the kasha. To strengthen this kasha, look at your first Mara Mocha.
In the kasha on Ula.
Kasha on Ula, yeah? To strengthen this kasha, look at the Gemara and Gittin, the first Marmachim. Says the Gemara and Gittin, Ba'akov dinim bebenis. Ba'akov, he gets Bnei Barak. You show him, but it's a birth. But if Reuven is not coming to claim his money back from the original Shimon, because Shimon died, and he's coming to make the claim of payments from the children of Shimon, the Yatsumi, Bizdavoris, he can only take Bet Shemesh rubbish. Remember that money, Shimon? He can take from Shimon Bnei Barak. But if Shimon died, and Reuven wants his money back from the children, he can only take Bet Shemesh. Why? Omlei Rova, Rova explains. Hokash, Rabal Chovdin, and Midaraisa, Bizdavoris. Because Midaraisa, the Torah says, you only own Mr. Reuven Bet Shemesh Midaraisa. Because Ula, like Ula told us, the Ula says, Dora Torah, Baal Chovdin, Midaraisa. The only ownership which Baal Chovdin has is in rubbish Bet Shemesh. Shereba, because Bez Bechot, Tama, the Ish. The only thing he gets is whatever he brings out. Obviously, that's rubbish. So that's the only ownership. He's only got to use it in rubbish, Reuven. Why does we say in the Mishnah that he can take Bnei Barak if he's really only got rights in Bet Shemesh? Why can he take Bnei Barak? That's a tekona. In order to make sure people lend money, so therefore we have to give him something better. So we make a mitzvah on the person who borrows money to give something better, even though Reuven doesn't own anything in Bnei Brak. It's a mitzvah to give the Bnei Brak. The Gabi Yasmi, but when it comes to the children, did children borrow money? Or did the Abba borrow money? Like the Abba. Yasmi have no mitzvah. Therefore, since they have no mitzvah, Ukma Rabbanan Adaraisa, we say, you've got no mitzvah, just do what the Daraisa says, which was what he owns. He only owns Bet Shemesh stuff, so you children only have to pay him Bet Shemesh, but the neighbor don't need to bother. So we've got a clear Gemara in Gittin that the only person who has to give Bnei Barak to the Baal Chov is the one who borrowed the money.
Why is that such a
himself?
Why is it such a clear eye when you know the Simon are treated much more vanical by the Kohen always? So the Simon can always be an exception, and it could be that they extend the Kohen in another case and say no, even the other buyer now has to take on the same mitzvah.
Okay.
Just exactly what I was thinking.
Okay.
I didn't hear the question.
Okay, I'll repeat the question. First, I just finish off my sentence and I'll repeat the question asked by Mr. Wellings. So therefore, we see from this Gemara that the only one who needs to give Bnei Barak is the guy who borrowed the money himself. He has a personal mitzvah. No one else who did borrow the money, either it's the children. In our case, it would be the buyer, of the third party buyer called Levi. They didn't borrow money. They will not need to give anything over which is not under the ownership of Reuven, and Reuven's ownership is limited to Bet Shemesh. So anything else, they only have to give Bet Shemesh, nothing else. That's what I say. So therefore we now got Lachera Estira in Gemara from the Gemara in Gittin, who says, yeah, a third party, you didn't borrow money, you gave him rubbish Bet Shemesh. And our Gemara says a buyer who's a third party, he didn't borrow the money, he gives the neighbor Estira. Yeah. Now what Mr. Wellings and Avi wanted to ask is maybe no, maybe it's not a stira, or suggest as that, okay? Maybe it's a special leniency by Yusomi. Maybe third parties should all give Bnei Brak. And even a buyer should give Bnei Brak, like Agamar says. And a special thing in Yusomi over there, that we want to protect Yusomi and look after them. And say, no, never, so you don't need to give.
Not a kind of reason.
No, it's a kind of reason. That's what Mr. Wellings and Avi wants to suggest. That's a bit of a problem.
It's at least according to Rashi's the here. It may not be the ultimate, but at least according to the way Rashi.
Oh, okay, fine. I tell you why it's a bit of a problem. Because at the time Reuven lent money to Shimon, was Shimon alive?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. If we say that Reuven, when he gave money to Shimon, Shimon's alive, yes? That when you give money, it gives you ownership. Much ownership. Not only in Bet Shemesh, but in Bnei Brak, actually gives you ownership. If you want to suggest that, what's what Mr. Wellings want to say? That you want to suggest, really, everyone agrees that Tekona is not just a mitzvah, it's actually giving ownership, and ownership not only, mitzvah ownership in Bnei Brak, and therefore a buyer has to listen to ownership rights, and there's also ownership rights in Bnei Brak. That's what they want to suggest. And Yisomim is different. Yeah? But the problem is that when Reuven gave money to Shimon, he then bought whatever he's supposed to buy. Yes? And if you're saying Midrash, he also bought Bnei Brak, so he also bought Bnei Brak at that stage. Suddenly Shimon drops dead. Yeah? And now, unexpectedly, he drops dead. No one knew he was going to die. Yeah? Now he's got children. How can you stop? How can the children stop Reuven gained the field of Bnei Brak? If Reuven owns Bnei Brak, how can the Shimon stop it? It's like saying, you know, Shimon sold a house to Reuven, a proper house, no. Shimon sold a house to Reuven in his lifetime. Now he dropped dead. Never he dropped dead. Let's tell the Yisroelim, you can go and not give over that house. Can you say such a thing?
No.
Oh. What's Reuven bought from Shimon in his lifetime, when Shimon's alive, something? You can't say just because Shimon dropped dead, now Reuven lost that right. Mm-hmm. So if you're telling me that the children don't need to pay Bnei Brak, that's a sign that Reuven never bought Bnei Brak. If Reuven bought Bnei Brak in the lifetime of Shimon, then it can't be that the children, when he dies, can say, oh, no, you don't have that right. If children can say, we don't need to give Bnei Brak, that's a proof that Reuven never bought Bnei Brak. Okay, so if Reuven never bought the Bnei Brak, so who's in? When Levi, not a child, Levi, a third party, buys from Shimon Bnei Brak, he says, you Reuven never bought it, I haven't got a mitzvah, you never bought it, so therefore I don't need to give it to you. So I should only give you rubbish Bet Shemesh, not Bnei Brak. So why are you giving Bnei Brak?
I don't know why that's a proof, because the Chazal, they can define it however they want. So by Yisraelim they say it this way.
No, but at the time of the loan, there's the case is not different. Reuven lends money to Shimon. There's no Yisraelim around, there's no buyer around. So what happens? If you say he actually takes ownership, say he bought already something in Shimon's life called Bnei Brak, he already bought it.
I didn't want to say that.
So now then he drops dead, you take it away, his ownership. You don't take something which someone buys in the lifetime of a father, ownership away when the father dies. Don't take it away.
That's a similar issue. Why go in there? Why not say it stays a mitzvah, an enforceable mitzvah? That enforceable mitzvah, Tekona, transfers onto Levi. Why not? Because you can exchange it to Tekona.
Now, Mr. Welling wants to, either this is what he meant all along, or Mr. Welling wants to give a different answer. Okay.
No, isn't that
okay? I'm Mamilu. He's trustworthy, you love me. So, everyone agrees, Avada, if the children don't have to give Bnei Brak, means that Reuven never acquired Bnei Brak. That's what everyone agrees.
Yes. Okay, fine.
So, that's why they don't have to give their out. So the question is, why does Levi have to give their out? So let us see, there's excuse.
That's the excuse.
Can I ask you one question not related to Takana, definition of Takana? Why Rabbanim could not make very fancy Takana?
Can't make sense.
There's a lot of and so on.
No?
No. Okay. This is not way to think. Not only it's too here. They never make it fancy
Takana. Okay. Let's look at Xos. Xos is bothered by this question. He says, what's the difference between the children by giving Bet Shemesh and the Levi has to give the Bnei Brak? What's the difference? So the Xos says like this. Talmud Achmas, the reasoning behind this, the difference. Since when Reuven lent money to Shimon? He lent money to Shimon. He never had a half a minute. No one had a half a minute that states that Shimon was going to drop dead. Reuven didn't think when he's lending money to Shimon he's going to drop dead. But not from this in a couple of years to me. Yeah? No one's going to think that's going to happen. Leka nila feles. So therefore, when the children pay Reuven with the rubbish, it's not going to put him off lending again. Because he said, well, this is just a one-off case. Because the guy dropped dead, that's why I'm getting rubbish. But normally I'll get good stuff, so therefore I'll still keep lending. He's not going to be put off lending.
May not lend to unhealthy people.
But. Okay, he won't be put off lending. Won't be off lending, because he lost out here, but because it's an unusual case. But normal cases, he'll get good stuff. Okay. Oh, so that's why the Yisomim do not need to give more than Bet Shemesh, because they don't need to give more than Bet Shemesh, because B'nai Barak is not necessary over here. Because he's not land, even if you give Bet Shemesh.
We don't need Takana.
But Keach, but a buyer, when Reuven lent money to Shimon, he knows full well that Shimon could always sell this land. He always, it's not an absurd case. Of course, Shimon owns land, it can always be sold. So when he lends money, he expects that it could be sold, and therefore, if when it's sold, you only give him rubbish, of course he won't bother lending in the future, because he says, if I lend money and it gets sold, I get rubbish, then I forget it, I'm not going to lend. So it has to be that the buyer has to also give him Bnei Barak, because if he doesn't get Bnei Barak from the buyer, then forget it, he won't bother lending at all. Okay? That's the wording of the sentence. That's the logic. I'm not saying we've answered the question. That's the logic why a Yorish, a child, can get away with Bet Shemesh, because it won't affect people lending out their money if they get rubbish from a child. But a buyer can't get away with Bet Shemesh, because if a buyer gives rubbish, then the lender tucker won't bother lending anymore, because he said, look, I put myself in danger, I lend him money, I'll get out rubbish at the end, because most likely he will sell it on, who says he'll keep this field, and then I'll get rubbish. You know, I'm not going to go into that, this thing altogether, I'm putting myself in risk. So I'm not going to buy, so therefore, in order to make sure he lends, we have to say, even the buyer has to give him playbook. Okay, that's the logic. Fine, so we understand the logic why one is better than the other. Shimon can give him rubbish, and the keach can give it. But we don't know how it works. The mechanics is still a problem. Meaning that if like we explained before, that Reuven actually owns rights in Bnei Barak, so how can the children go around and say, I'm not going to give you ownership. I can give you Bet Shemesh, and you will still lend people. So what? But the Maisa, I own Bnei Barak, so give me Bnei Barak. If I own Bnei Barak, if when Reuven lends money to Shimon, he owns rights in Bnei Barak, how can the children say, you know what, you won't be upset if you get Bet Shemesh over here, you won't be upset, so I'll give you Bet Shemesh, and keep Bnei Barak, which is monetary, yours by me. Reuven will just say, look, I won't get upset, but I own this, so give it to me, because I own it. I own this. So what? You can give me Bet Shemesh and I won't be upset. But Bnei Barak, Lamaise, if I own, I own. And Amai, you don't own.
Right.
No. So if you don't own, so the buyer, a third party buyer, Levi, if you don't own, buys the Bnei Barak, yes? Can say, Levi can say to Reuven at the end of the day, is that I'm going to give you rubbish because you have no ownership in Bnei Barak. And I have no mitzvah to give you Bnei Barak. I've no mitzvah, I never borrow money. So we see there's a logical reason why it wouldn't be so bad in Svara to make a difference between children giving rubbish and buyers giving Bnei Barak, but we don't know how you can make that difference practically, because if he owns it, then both of them have to give Bnei Barak. And if he doesn't own it, then both of them don't need to give him Bnei Barak, because they say it's got nothing to do with you. That we still haven't explained. Yes?
Why can't we say that Chazal set it up so that you have something called conditional ownership? You have conditional ownership. If it causes a problem with Atakana, yeah. If it doesn't, no problem, you get business. Like why can't Chazal set it up in a way that does that?
He said they didn't.
What?
He says we didn't.
No, I'm asking. Like, you know, it sounds like you can't.
In theory, if you're just saying this shir today, you could say conditional shir. Because we said shirim last week, and we said ula clearly goes after the time of payment or defining what is considered beinonis, means that until the time of payment you had nothing. So you had no ownership until the time of payment. So the time of payment means, yeah, it's no ownership over here. We just want to know what's called middle-sized quality land at the time of payment. Why that? Because the whole thing is nothing to do with ownership. The whole thing is just to do a mitzvah. The whole thing is just to do a mitzvah of what he has to pay. He has to give middle size. So that when's the mitzvah? When does the mitzvah of paying take place? At the time of paying. So the time of paying, we work out what his mitzvah is. That's what we do. That was last week's shift. Time of paying, we work out what his mitzvah is, because there's nothing more than a mitzvah over here to give B'nai Barak. So if it's nothing more than a mitzvah to give B'nai Barak, and the only one who has the mitzvah is the one who borrowed money at Shimon, then not the children have the mitzvah, and not the Levi who bought the field has the mitzvah. So both of them should have the same halacha that says, we have no mitzvah to give you a berak, and you have only ownership and rubbish. So what is going to be the answer?
But it's possible to speculate right now, or it's not good? What could be the answer?
You can speculate after I give the answer.
In this case, it will be like
that. No, I'm willing to hear alternative answer. If it happens to be the same answer, very good.
But right now, if I will say it's the same answer, you understand?
Okay.
Okay, let's go.
Bye.
Let's go.
So, let's see, therefore, a Gemara in Bava Basra. Also from Ulla. This is all Ulla speaking in both, in all three receptors. It's Ulla speaking. So Bob Basi says like this. Alma Ulla. Dava Torah. According to the Torah, Echad Milva Bishtar, Echad Milva Pa. Whether you lent money, whether Reuven lent Ben Shimon with a document as proof, or whether he just lent it without any proof. Go for Melachos to Bishul Motim. As far as Torah is concerned, you can collect your rubbish from even the buyers who bought that rubbish, because that's what you own. You can get ownership. As soon as you lend money, you get ownership in the rubbish, whether you get a document to prove it or not. Okay? Shiva deraisa, because ownership is deraisa, you acquire the money. You don't need a document to acquire it. You acquire the rubbish fields, ownership of it. We're giving money. Matamara, but there's a tzakona. That milva per ein gova elemas hasvot. There's a tzakona that if you don't have a document to prove you lent money, you can't go to the third party buyer lady to get your rubbish. Tzakona. To go to Levi, you have to have a document. That's a tzakon. Otherwise, you can go to Levi to get your rubbish, which you own. But a tzakon, you can't, unless you have a document. Why? It says, Nitzdein Pesedo Kukos, it's not fair. Not fair to Levi. If there's no document, Levi never knew that there was a loan when he bought the fields. Documents.
So a call.
Bring out coal, bring out rumors. Everyone hears. When you write a document, everyone hears. Ah, if everyone hears, Levi knows that this field has already had a prior owner called Reuven on it. So then he knows full well, still buys it, and it's fault. Yeah? But if he doesn't know, because there's no documents, then he bought something not realizing there's an owner already there, and then he found out that there's suddenly an owner, because the Reuven already lent money, that's not fair. So therefore, in order to prevent that, we say, at Tzakona, we say, you can't go to the Levi to collect your rubbish field from him, even though it's yours, because we want to protect the buyer in such a case. Okay? Why don't we protect the buyer always? Even when there's documents, we should protect the buyer. No. Hosan iu niu t'afsid anashim. He was stupid for buying the field. Stupid guy. He knows there's ownership over there already. Because he hears the coal. And he still buys it. And therefore he wants to say, oh, I bought it, it's not fair, I have to give it to him. What do you mean? You knew and you put yourself into that mess. We're not going to protect you. You lost yourself.
It's a great phrase.
Fuck. So here we see a concept like this. which answers us a face. Really, the only ownership which Reuven, who let the money, has is in rubbish. Rubbish, Bet-Shemesh land, that's what he has ownership in. That's the only ownership. Why does he get paid B'nai Brak? That's Taka, just a mitzvah. Just a mitzvah on Shimon to pay B'nai Brak. Shimon now dies or sells it to Levi. Those third parties, the children, don't have a mitzvah because they didn't borrow the money. Therefore, they only have to give Bet Shemesh. But the buyer, Levi, the buyer Levi is stupid. He is going ahead and buying land which he knows that there's a priority really that we want to give to the borrower. We want him to get the Nebrak because we want people to lend. So we want the mitzvah to be done with the Nebrak. And he goes ahead and he tries and ruins the mitzvah on purpose. He tries and takes the Nebrak and stops the mitzvah taking place and therefore calls everybody to suffer that now there's not going to be any loans being given because now no one's going to loan because they're only going to get Bet Shemesh rubbish. On that, we give him a penalty and say, just as there's a mitzvah for the original owner to pay B'nai Barak, you, the buyer, have also a mitzvah to give B'nai Barak, because if you don't have the mitzvah of paying B'nai Barak, you will cause everyone to get Bet Shemesh rubbish, and everyone will stop lending their money. You'll ruin the Tekona. You ruin the original Tekona. We want everyone to lend money. Why? We give a mitzvah that you have to give Nebrak and that will entice everyone to lend money. You buy the Nebrak full well knowing that the mitzvah is trying to ruin it. We don't let you ruin it. We put the mitzvah on you as well. So you have also a mitzvah to give Nebrak. So the difference between your sermon children and Levi, a buyer, is children are not negligent, they don't know, they're not trying to ruin it, and it doesn't ruin it because it's an unlikely case, so therefore they only have to give what actually owns the Reuven, and that's the rubbish Bet Shemesh. But a buyer called Levi, he knows there's a mitzvah out, and he knows by buying it that he will be ruining the mitzvah, we don't let him ruin the mitzvah, we actually place the mitzvah on him, and when he pays the Nebrak, why is he paying Nebrak? Because of ownership, because of the mitzvah. Why is Levi paying the Nebrak to Reuven? What's the reason at the end of the day? Why is Levi giving the Nebrak to Reuven? Because of mitzvah or because of ownership? What does Reuven have in Nebrak? Ownership?
No.
Doesn't have ownership. And therefore, the only reason why the buyer Levi is giving B'nai Barak
penalty
is because the penalty we put a mitzvah on him, and therefore the buyer Levi has also a mitzvah to give B'nai Barak, but because of mitzvah, not because of ownership. Okay.
My answer is.